NFT.
NFT.
NFTs.
NFTs.
Non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, are exploding in popularity.
This is Zen Chats. I am Zeneca. Let's talk NFTs. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Zen Chats. Today, I'm honored to be here with Brendan from Premint. So if you've been in the NFT space at all over the last few months, you know what Premint is. It seems like every single project uses it. It originally started as a service to sort of collect Ethereum addresses for like mint list, whitelist giveaways, and stuff like that. But it's evolved into so much more, and I'm sure we're going to get into all of it. But first of all, just welcome, Brendan.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Before we do get to Premint, I'd love to know just a little bit more about you, your background, and when did you get into NFTs and crypto, and how did you, you know, get here to begin with?
Yeah. So it's been I don't even remember what month it is. It's April. So it hasn't even been a full year. I mean, you know, I'd collected and minted a few NFTs a long time ago, but I didn't really get it until probably August, September of last year. Mm. So I'm really new to the space. The thing I'm not new to is building for creators. So I've been in the tech world for 15 plus years, and most of it, I came from the music industry, like traditional music industry, managing bands, tour managing, putting on shows, all that, record label, executive stuff. And then I left to build tech solutions for the music industry and for musicians. And so spent a few years doing that. Then moved on to build like a platform for app developers when app development was just getting started. That was a new set of creators that needed a lot of tools built for them. Sold that to Google and went to Google for a few years, and then left Google and just wanted to get back to building. I built, I think, 11 projects in 12 months, 10 of them total. Wow. Failures. I was just having fun. Like, there was no expectation with it. It was really to work the building muscle. When you're working at a place like Google, I'm not a Google level engineer, so I was a product manager. And so I didn't get to write or build anything for 3 years. I just got to mm-hmm. manage people building things. So I wanted to get back to doing it myself. Anyway, yeah. One of the things that came out of that was a web platform for podcasters called PodPage, which it's a silly little project, but it's sort of like a Squarespace, very narrowly focused on the podcasting space. Mm-hmm. So that built that a few years ago. And that's been a joy to work on. That community is awesome. And so, but again, it's like I keep getting drawn back to creator tools. And yeah. So when it being introduced to NFTs, you know, really got getting into it, I started realizing how powerful both the ability for creators to actually make a living, like a real amount of money, where like every other creator industry has always been there scraping by, like people in the NFT world who are doing it right, yeah. have figured it out. And then, and it's just such an open world for like, there's a bunch of tools that need to be built for it. And so it just, to me, it was like, oh, this is great. And so I built a handful of things for the community, and this was the one that took off more than the others.
Yeah. You're so right that I always bring this up because it's so interesting how like we're in Web3, we're a cutting edge of technology and blockchain stuff, but then in many respects we're using Web1 tooling. The example that I love referring to is like these marketplace aggregators, Gem and Genie, and how you can like buy multiple NFTs at once. The shopping cart that was not existing before that. And it's just like, it's so crazy. And there's so much room for just tooling. And what were some of the things you built before Premint that maybe didn't find the same level of success?
Yeah. So I, generally when I get into a space, what I like to do is just try to add value however I can. And I'm not an artist. So, you know, jumping in and being able to create an NFT, a collection wasn't really an option. I wanted to follow drops. I couldn't find a good way to follow all the drops. So I built a newsletter called Alpha Drop and grew that to, you know, it was a daily newsletter. And for me, it was more about getting me to pay attention every day. And so that was fun. And that got me to sort of gave me a platform to expose a lot of artists that I was excited about. And so that gave me for them a reason to talk to me. And so I got to like, you know, that newsletter was mostly trash because it was just drops I found on calendars and stuff. But the top section was always something for me. And sometimes it was like an artist interview or exclusive.
Yeah.
So that was really fun. I think Premint came. Oh, and that also had an accompanying like Product Hunt for NFTs site. That was the kind of the goal. I was an early investor in Product Hunt. So I saw that journey and I was like, we need this. We need like a Product Hunt interface for NFTs. Yeah. So I started building that actually. Because when I finally was ready to launch it, I was like, I got a little bit of a chicken and an egg problem. Let's start with a newsletter. And so that was an advice from a friend who was like, why don't you just start sending this stuff out as opposed, because I was like, well, what if people show up and no one's voted and then it looks really empty? And, you know,
yeah.
That it's sort of the accompanying product. Someone I know was doing the whole, I need to collect wallet addresses. So they were using Google Forms, and it was someone who I'd covered in AlphaDrop. And I was like, what do you do after someone submits? Like, I can come and copy and paste like 1,000 addresses in here. And he was like, I run scripts. I check for X, Y, and Z. And I was like, this just seems hard. And so the initial pre-mint was a morning. I was on paternity leave. And it took me a morning to build because it was most of the code from AlphaDrop just pulled over and simplified. So, and then I built a thing called salesbots.xyz, which is, you know, plug in your collection, sign into Twitter. 5 minutes later, you have a bot that tweets whenever something sells. And then when the Proof Collective launched, I built the backend for the Proof Collective, which is like a portal you log into. It's called Portal. You log in. It lets you in if you own the NFT. It gives you access to a bunch of stuff. And then if you sell the NFT, it cuts off your access. So like, you have a calendar feed for all their events. And then as soon as you sell the token, that calendar feed dies. Even though you can't log back in, it also dies within your iCal. So some of that I'm going to be pulling into pre-mint also. But anyway, those are the main... There's a couple other small, not really even worth mentioning ones. But it was just me kind of looking around and plugging away.
No, I love it. Just tinkering away and seeing what sticks, I guess. And clearly pre-mint has, because there was just such a need for this tooling and every project is basically using it. Did you have plans like pretty early on to build it into everything that has come now? Or was it just, you just wanted to build out and get out there? Yeah.
I built it for an amazing artist named Pindar Van Artman. He has a collection that he does called BitGans. He does a lot of GAN art. He did BitGans. He has a 500 collection, and then he's part of the Braindrops launch with his PodGans. He was the inspiration, and I've talked about this online a lot. I actually had a whole set of creator passes that were built in honor of him, that I sold, and then he got all the revenue from. But it was really just to solve his problem. And I announced it to the pre-mint, or I announced it to the AlphaDrop list. I think most of them didn't know what I was talking about because they were not creators, right?
Yeah.
And it kind of like, it just kind of floated along for a few months. Like we had a couple weird, like I remember being at a pumpkin patch with my daughter and wife, and I got an alert that the servers broke, and I looked over and DK Motion had used it. So he broke it, and I felt horrible because I didn't think anyone was ever going to use it. And so he broke it. And then a couple months later, Farouk for Rug Radio used it, and you know, he sent his army and they crashed it immediately. And that was the moment I was talking to him this morning about this. That was the moment that I was like, I need to actually put more time and effort into making this stable, if nothing else. And to make it stable for, like, you know how the NFT community works, like a mint site no one uses until mint time, and then like a billion people use it for 20 minutes, and then it sits dormant. It's really hard to build a service that is that responsive. And so anyway, that's what started to be like, maybe there should be a premium tier of this. Maybe we should do more with it. And like, I started listening a little bit more to the creators and developing the platform after that. So, and it wasn't until, and we could talk about this later, but it wasn't until like a month and a half ago that started thinking about building out the collector side of it. Like, it's been a creator focused tool up to this point.
Yeah. And is it just you, or do you have like now a team? I gather it started with just you, but like, where is it now?
It's mostly me on the development side. It's mostly me. I have someone who I've been working with for a while who helps a lot with small things, but you know, I think having big teams is great. I have a unique set of skills that where I can sort of be a product manager, a designer, and an engineer, and it lets me move a lot faster. So I always hold off on trying to find someone else. I'm happy to go a little bit slower in some people's minds, but maintain sort of like the right efficiency where I'm not project managing ever. I'm just building and adding value.
Yeah.
But then I also have people who came out of the woodwork when I launched the collector pass a couple weeks ago that were like, you're going to get flooded. Let us help with support. Let us help with talking to the community. So I do have like a bunch of people. We don't have a Discord, but we have a Discord for creators, but there are people that are fielding like the collab requests we're getting. Like, I'm getting a lot of help there. So I want to, I want to build up that side of the team so I can keep focusing on product and building and that side of it.
Yeah. I don't think anyone can accuse you of going slow. That's just given how fast you've, I remember. So I started using Preman pretty early on for Zen Academy and the stuff that we were running. And I remember I would log in and like every few days there was just a new feature. And like you could add roles or you could, you know, verify. I was like, this is wild. Because I was used to using stuff that was just kind of like didn't move that quickly. So
yeah. It's fun. Crazy just, I mean, that's, you know, I think I'm someone who always tends to build a simple version of the thing that needs to be built and launch it very quickly. And I'm totally okay with it falling over and failing. Like that's totally fine. And I have a lot of friends who sort of, I mean, Preman's probably been the most FUDded project by people I care about in the history of things I've built. And when I told people about it, they were like, well, that's the dumbest idea ever. Why would that need to exist? Right. And I was like, I actually don't disagree with you. But I think there's a need for something like this. Now, obviously, as it's gotten more and more used, people get it now. And when I built it, we were in the gas wars was the normal thing. And I was like, hey, here's an alternative to that. But people were still like, no, we have our mints. Like, we don't need to be green lists or allow lists. And now, like, whether it was because of pre-mint or not, like, it is a very normal thing to do an allow list where when I launched it, it wasn't. So it makes more sense to people now. But yeah, I think, you know, you just got, if you release stuff quickly, you get feedback quickly and you can remove stuff or stop working on certain things or add it. Like, it's so much more efficient than, like, talking to people forever and like theorizing what you might build.
I can imagine. Yeah. So let's talk about the Collector's Pass then. So that dropped April 1st, I think, just a couple of weeks ago. How long was that sort of in the works for, and what's your vision for it? Like, obviously there's a roadmap with a bunch of cool added features. Yeah, maybe just talk through some of those and how you envision collectors using the pass. Yeah.
So, like I said, Preman has been 100% creator focused since the beginning. I've been building the ability for someone to launch an access list, customize it however they want to, gate it however they want to, export the data however they want, run a raffle. There's still like, there's so much work to do on that side of it, but it works pretty well. I just kind of realized it. I think it was probably around February, sometime in February. I looked at the data and I was like, oh, there's like I think at the time there were like 200,000 wallets that had connected to these lists. And I was like, I had like 700,000 registrations. And I sort of realized that I almost am building a marketplace, but there's only one side of it, right? The only way for you to find out a list exists is to see it posted to Twitter or a Discord. I have no like search. I have no way of like browsing the lists, which is fine. I actually think that's fine. It's kind of like when YouTube started, you only saw the videos if you went to a MySpace page and they had embedded them. Like YouTube.com was just a way to create the videos. It wasn't like a place for a consumer to go. And so, and when you go to a pre-mint page and you register, there's a big click to register button and then it'll say you're registered and there is no other button to go do more stuff. Like closing the browser window is the user journey for my product, which is generally not what you want. Anyway, so I was like, oh, there's a lot of collectors that would probably feel beneficial. I looked at Alpha Drop, and Alpha Drop, my whole goal was to send alpha about drops. And I was like, with pre-mint, I actually have a full database of what's coming next that isn't available anywhere else. And so again, I started testing, I started putting like information in, like options for creators in, like, would it be okay if I exposed this to the broader community? Like I never want to expose data that creators think is not going to be exposed. So I actually started putting in options for that before it actually did anything. Like a creator, when they're setting up a page, would be like, do you want this to be private or public?
Yep.
It was never public, but I was just curious to know how many people would choose the private option, and most people chose public. And so I started thinking like, oh, I could probably build a really nice browsing experience to this. So that was one piece of it, was like, there's value to open this up for more people. And then the other piece of it was like, when you register for lists, there's no notifications, there's no emails that go out, there's no like list of ones that you've won or lost. And I started being like, there's a huge collector side of this that's probably missing. And then the sort of the holy grail, which I can't wait to build, it's kind of half built, but is now that I have all this data around you as a collector, meaning your wallet, so I know what you own. You've also logged into Discord, so I can know what servers you're in. Then I also have all this data around all the lists that are out there and what they require of people. I can actually show you, here's all the lists that you actually are eligible to join. Right? It's not just browse around. It's like, here's stuff that you can just click the register button and be a part of right away. So. Yeah. there's just something there. And I think it's going to be really cool to build. I thought of just building it with no NFT. And then I thought, I think this actually would feel a little nicer if it was kind of a premium set of features. And so mm-hmm. then it's, do I charge an upgrade to, and not everything I just mentioned will be behind the paywall, but there's a lot of room there. And so yeah. I was like, oh, I could just charge people to use it. Or what if I did an NFT? And so I started, my market research was like, I'll just build a pre-mint page for this theoretical pre-mint collector pack
yeah.
and see what happens. And, you know, I got tons of interest. And I thought that like, it just fits a little bit better. I love the concept of token gated membership as opposed to like, I paid a subscription to Stripe.
Right.
I have a lot of things that I think you can do with token gated memberships, and other people can offer your members stuff. So yeah. like it was like, it's gotta be an NFT. And so anyway, so that it all kind of came together. And at the same time, like, I mean, that was when I had 200,000 wallets had connected. I think we crossed 600 or 700,000 the other day. Like the last couple of months have been insane. So it's kind of, wasn't intentional, but it's been a crazy couple of months. So anyway, so that's where it came from.
That's awesome. And this is no joke. The number one question that's asked in the Zen Academy Discord, and I think it got asked about 4 or 5 times today, was how do you find out if you won the pre-mint raffle? Like, how do you find out? And we have a thread and we've got a system where we will ping everyone's Discord thing if they've won, which is great. But just that feature, and it's so desired.
Well, and you know, you know your product is needed when the most basic shit isn't there, but people are still using it. Like, yeah. of course. Yeah. Now, I will give myself a little credit where, like, email in our world is not a great thing to do because, like, you know, phishing stuff.
Yeah.
So I just started sending confirmation emails a couple weeks ago. And I have this anti-phishing code that you can go into your account, you enter your anti-phishing, like whatever you want your word to be, and then it's at the top of your email. So hopefully that'll help. And then with winners, I'm going to start sending out winner notifications. I prototyped that with a couple projects, and there's still some bugs to work out. I'm trying to be really careful because as soon as I give like any project the ability to email a bunch of people, even though they will never see the email addresses, like I still need to be careful. But yeah, the basic stuff, like just notify me when I win. Yeah, of course. It's like, I ended up building an API endpoint so the projects can kind of take some of that on their own. But it'll be fun to do that, the basic stuff. So right now we did launch the inbox where you can see a summary of if you've won or not.
Yeah. Which is nice. So I want to talk a bit more. So the collector pass, it was a 0.25 mint. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And I mean, today we're recording this on the 13th, 14th April. It's gone crazy. It's like 1.5 ETH roughly. Which is fantastic. Clearly, like, I mean, and the unique owner distribution is wild. It's like almost 8,000 unique owners for 10,000, which is always just, it's insane. Do you already have any plans to introduce more passes? Because, you know, it's a fine balance, right? Between making it accessible to new people, but also not taking value away from those current holders. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and there's the other side of it, which is, we have 600,000 users and we only have 10,000 passes. When I came, this whole thing started, I think originally I pitched 5,000 passes and then there was such demand, I moved it to 10. And there's 200,000 wallets. So it felt like that's okay. And now it feels like, oh, I hope this is okay. You know, like, I don't know. So I think I am in that stage of what is the right move forward. I have no plans on doing anything anytime soon. The original pass was designed to be a yearly pass. And so you would get the 2022 pass. In 2023, we'd introduce a new pass. The promise I made to pass holders is if you have a 2022 pass and you want a 2023 pass, you guaranteed access to it. Like you're basically on the, you'll be in, there's be a snapshot, you can buy one. I didn't know, because this is a big experiment, I didn't know if like 2023 there'd be 20,000 passes, maybe 5,000 passes, right? It's hard to go down, but I just had no, I literally had no idea. I mean, my hope for this was, you know, I'm kind of trying to do something a little new, which is giving people access to software. This isn't an alpha group. This isn't a private Discord. Like you pay for an NFT and you get access to software. And so usually people who sell software don't want to limit their total number of users.
Yeah.
And so I think there's one direction. I wrote a blog post I never published about this, where like I can see NFT software sales with huge royalties. Which reminds me sort of like Adobe Photoshop CDs like 15 years ago, where like you finished using it, you could resell the CDs and maybe get some of your money back. Where like, I feel like the royalties here So I think if people would be okay with giving the royalty away to recoup a little bit, because the problem mm-hmm. with software sales via NFT is you get these new customers, you have to support new customers, but you don't make a new sale.
Yeah.
That's really hard. Anyway, that's a totally different conversation. I'm trying to figure out, I'm mostly concerned with, like, someone gave me, it was yesterday, someone was complaining about, they were like, shouldn't more people have access to these features? Mm. And I think the way I think about it is, like, what I'm hoping is as we keep building stuff out, it'll be the value of what you get will balloon so much that I will be able to carve things that are currently exclusive and offer them to the general community, right? Yep. In the very beginning, I was like, you'll get access to the inbox beta. That doesn't necessarily, like, all the collector pass holders will always get first access to all the new stuff. But, like, the inbox beta isn't giving anyone really an edge. It would be inbox would be a nice thing for everyone to get access.
It's convenient.
That might be something that leaks out into to everyone else. The exclusive, like, collabs probably won't, right? And, like, so I don't know. I think it'll be a balance going forward. Before launch, everyone gave me a lot of shit saying that, like, how can you justify the price? How can you, like, you know, all the typical stuff. And I was like, I don't know. I think we will be able to, but I also talking to my wife the night before, and I was like, I'm totally, and I know, sorry, collectors, because I know this isn't, like, a popular thing to say, but I was like, I'm thinking about this as software. If you pay this, I want you to get the value of the mint price. And if the floor stayed at the same mint price for the rest of, like, the few years, that's okay with me. That's my deal here, right? That's what I'm promising. I want people to feel like it's worth what they paid. To answer your question, I'm still figuring it out. You know, up until 4 a.m. the night before the launch, it was a 2022 pass. And then I realized, like, I think the founders, the people who are making a bet should get more than 8 months of service, especially since the features aren't all finished. So I just extended it to make it the first one a 2-year pass.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I know right now is the first one's a 2-year pass. So,
yeah, no, that's, again, it's like, just like most of us, we're figuring it out as we go along. And I think sort of the carving out some of the features and moving them from the exclusive paid model to the free it's smart. And I think more projects are going to do it. We're sort of considering that with Zen Academy and trying to figure that out going forward, where initially so much of the value prop was access to the Discord. But now we're at a point where, you know, our price is like 0.2 ETH. It's not prohibitive, but it is prohibitive to a lot of people. We want to make more people gain access to the Discord, but then how do you do that while not removing the value? So it's like, well, we have courses that are exclusive to holders, or we have deals and giveaways, etc. So yeah, I think it's just so interesting, this whole NFT model for a service, for a software thing that's going on in this space. So
it's so fun to be able to, like, and I haven't really pinpointed why this is the way it is, but my co-founder wrote me yesterday, my co-founder from a startup that we did together 8 years ago. And he saw, I forget what he saw me. I think I did a Moonbirds raffle for holders, and he didn't see me do it, but I reminded people that it was ending yesterday, or maybe it was the day before. And he wrote and he was like, it's so cool that you're able to do this stuff for your holders. And I said to him, I was like, I don't know why, but it is so much fun to work for this community in a way that software subscribers or users of, like, an old app that we build. It's just different. I don't know why it's different, but it is, like, it's like, and I feel like a friend who has another, you know, membership NFT feels the same way. It's like you wake up and you're like, what can I do fun today that'll, like, reward people for their support?
Yeah.
It's like,
it's fun. I say this all the time. It's just so fun having your own NFT project and community that you can think of how to, like, drive value to them. You know, just because of the way NFTs work, it's like, it's all in blockchain. You can just airdrop them something. You can get, like, just reward them, and it's just so cool. I want to talk a little about the feature that you've talked about building, where people can sign up with, say, one wallet and then use a different wallet to mint. Because I think that's something that everyone in the space is like wanting, and just at the same time, because we're petrified of using a wallet, our hardware wallet that has our Bored Apes or, you know, whatever, Zuki high value NFTs to mint a random project. So
yeah,
is that out yet, or is it in beta yet, or is it coming out soon?
You know, it's one of those, it's not out yet. Hopefully next week. It's for the most part ready. The thing that I don't know is how many bugs it'll introduce, because what it's doing. So on, on Prement, you log in with your wallet, and that's the wallet that you have to own the NFT in, and that's the wallet you're submitting to be on the access list. And like you just said, the problem is some people need to prove ownership of something valuable, but they don't want the access list. So there's the way that people are getting around this now and have for months is you can gate something by a Discord role. So
this
has been happening. A lot of communities have been doing this where you don't need to have the Proof Collective token in your wallet. You just need to have the Proof Collective role, and then you can, you know, log in. And that really actually solves the problem, but it's a little janky. Solves the problem.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is essentially when you log in, you can then log in with multiple wallets. I don't know if you've ever used Gallery, but if there, I think you can just like connect a bunch of wallets. It's going to be kind of like that. But you can designate a minting wallet. It's just default. That'll always be. And then, so when you're registering for a project, you can be like, all right, well, the thing I need is going to be in this wallet, the thing I need to prove. And then, but when I'm on this, like put this minting wallet as the one that I register. That works. It's like 100% works. It's actually live right now. I'm the only person who can use it. But so that piece of it works. The area that I know I'm going to miss things is this account merge. And talk to any software developer who's ever tried to merge accounts. It just, there's always issues, right? So you're logged in with your wallet that you usually log into Prement with. Now you've connected your minting wallet. You won the chance to do something on your minting wallet, but the inbox is built for a single wallet. So and the logic to like show everything is broken a little bit. So my biggest worry, because the Moonbirds launch is this weekend, is that like people would see that they're either a winner or not a winner for Moonbirds. It was a bug and it causes them to miss out on it. And I was like, I'm not changing something that drastic before a high profile. So it was supposed to be launched last week. I actually put out a video explaining this to the community, being like, I wanted to get this out into your hands, but it's just not worth the potential effects of it. So, but hoping that goes out next week. It's, you know, knock on wood, you never know with software. But in the meantime, I've pulled up almost everything else on the roadmap and been throwing that out just to make up.
Yeah. Nice. It sounds fantastic, but I get that. Yeah, those bugs can sneak in, I just think that's really just thoughtful. Like you've just thinking about, hey, there's this raffle coming up, and we don't want to accidentally give people hope or something like that. Man, it's a hyped raffle, by the way. Everyone is just like waiting for it's the 15th, right? When they're going to announce the
Friday morning.
Yeah. Do you know how many, have they told us how many wallets signed up?
I don't think they've released that information. I've got no clue.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to the post-mortem, where I think they've said that they're going to go back and talk about how they manually weeded through all the data to eliminate bots and stuff like that. So
it's going to be cool. I mean, you know, these are always the fun things for me because I get to steal all their ideas, right? I mean, Prement is better now because people have found ways to hack Prement. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. I'll just add that feature, right? And I think that we'll learn a lot from this one. The other thing is like everyone, when they announced they were moving from Dutch auction, the 2 second story here is Vayner Sports had an awesome NFT drop, but it was kind of a disaster because it was so botted that the gas fees, people lost like a total of, you know, it was like a $220 million spent on gas during their drop. It was just a disaster. And so Moonbirds got to the point where they were worried that the same thing would happen. So they moved over to use Prement as a allow list. And then what they're going to do is they have like a list of winners and then other people that, you know, are on the wait list and all that. So, I think it was the right decision for them, but, it's definitely a launch, a big change. And the community was like, oh, well, Prement's going to get botted. And it was interesting because I had never had so much FUD about Prement as a service because there just hadn't been a big, we've had Xcopy and Shack and we've had plenty of high profile launches, but this one was just a little unique. And so I was hearing rumors like, you know, Prement will, you know, people, bots have figured out how to register a million times on Prement. It's like the biggest list on Prement is like 78,000 people. There's never been millions of people. And everyone has this belief that bots have beat Prement or something like that. I'm not saying they haven't. There's plenty of bots that probably get on, but it's just like, I just don't think it's that as big of a deal as people think it is.
Yeah.
So,
and one of the things was with that, that you had to have 2.5 ETH in your wallet to, so that's just like, that immediately cuts a lot of people off the knees.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's certainly, and this was a big question for people. So typically pre-mint at this point, and I'm going to build this, so it's not going to be forever. But when you use the pre-mint raffle function, it doesn't recheck all the requirements. So if you had to have an ape in your wallet, but you sold your ape, you're still on the list. Now, the project can export the data and clean it up however they want, but I don't check if you have 2.5 ETH in your wallet. So everyone asked me, do they need to keep the 2.5 ETH in the wallet? And I was like, I don't know, talk to the project. I don't know how they're going to, you know, everyone always thinks that I'm making all these decisions. Like, yes, there will be a button at some point that says recheck the requirements. That's not there yet.
Yeah.
If they would have asked me to build it, maybe I would have built it in time. Maybe I wouldn't have, but like, it's up to them. And then Kevin announced that it's not, you don't have to have the money in your wallet. So, but yeah, I mean, they're taking the data and they're going to do what they're going to do with it. And I'm excited to see how they're going to, like, I'm excited to read the postmortem too, because I think it'll probably be really interesting.
Yeah, I think so. What are some of the features that, are there any features or ideas that you haven't announced in your roadmap that you can share? Like maybe like 6 months out, things that you sort of would love to do, but maybe are more complicated?
Yeah, I mean, the irony of the collector side is the biggest complexity is really human problems, not technical problems. So it's, how do you create a great browsing experience for people, but also not expose them to scams? And all of the features I've announced are built, to be clear. They are all completely finished. I mean, they could be improved, but like I could launch all of them tomorrow. But the problem is that we haven't curated. We haven't figured out the curation angle of it. So, on the collector side, I think a lot of the stuff is going to be great, and it's going to be really nice for that we've announced. Like, it's all, hopefully it'll all roll out way ahead of schedule and stuff. But the other side, the creator side and collector side, because anything I add to the creators has ended up benefiting collectors for the most part. The big missing piece, and it's unfortunately this would be built had the collector stuff not happened, because that's just been such a focus, is. One problem it's going to solve is if you have to have a Bored Ape and you put it in your wallet right now, you register for a pre-mint, you can send that to wallet 2 and you can register again with the same token, right? It's really not abused that much. It's not like a huge problem, but it does happen. And so we're going to start tracking token IDs. And so like if you register with a token that's already been registered, well, you are the current owner of the token. So basically it'll just cancel the old registration.
Yeah.
Now, we'll also be able to track like quantities. So maybe you have 2 apes. And so we are going to give the creators the option to say, like, if they're going to run a raffle and they're going to be like, all right, sign up. Like maybe someone with 2 apes gets 2 tickets, the equivalent of 2 raffle tickets. Right. And it's hard because I kind of don't want to. I'm fine. I mean, if people want to do that, that's fine. I'm trying to not introduce features for people to hoard pre-mint collector passes. Like I like the distribution.
Yeah.
So it's really hard because I don't actually like that for my stuff, but it's clearly people want that, you know, people who have multiple, well, I don't know, any NFT, they buy multiple mostly. So they could potentially get more shots at a raffle or something. So we're going to add that, the complexity of both counting your number and also not letting you use the same one again is a lot to be start tracking where we're not tracking right now. So that's the actually you're asking if it's just me. I have someone who's going to help me with that because it's like, I want to make sure we get that one right. And having someone really focus on it. But like, I think that's going to be the most impact. And then there's a lot of additional things changing with the raffle aspect of it. I just added one. I have this collab feature where you can build these subsets. I think we did one for you where like I had my list for the creator pass. And then I created like a Zen Academy a very like unique link that I said was like, you guys get 333 spots or whatever it was. You don't have to do any work. You just have to share that link. They get added to my list. And then in the raffle now, when I go to say I want 10,000 winners, it first goes to your, and you might have like 600 people sign up for that list. So it grabs 333 of them and then moves the rest to the general raffle. So like the whole raffle system is going to be, I've got a bunch of improvements that I want to make to that. Because there still are too many people that export the data, run their own raffle, and then never tell me who the winners are. And so the pre-mint users are like, I don't know if I won or not. I can't tell them I didn't, but I can't tell them if it's so. Anyway, the token counting and tracking plus the raffle stuff, I think will be the most impactful thing that the community feels.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, that seems to me like big pluses. I want to, you mentioned before that you like the unique ownership and distribution and you don't like people. I have 41 pre-mint passes collected. I bought them. I don't think I minted any. I don't know if maybe I'd minted the one, but I just saw them and I saw like there were 7,000 plus unique holders. And then I used the pass and I remember the features you added and I was like, this is just not going to slow down. People, again, I think you'd mentioned somewhere there were 500,000 registered wallets and I was like, I need lots of these passes.
Well, so, I'm going to be transparent about that. I think I turned it off on the website the other day because literally there was a bug with how I was grabbing the data and it was slowing something down. But like, I've always published the number. It's not, you know, this is not on the blockchain. So, but I've been trying to be transparent about like the numbers and all that stuff. You know, it's hard. I had a couple DAOs reach out to me, you know, around the mint and they were like, oh, we have a lot of members. And instead of asking our members to all buy one individually, because they had reached out and I was like, oh, let me give you 200 spots. Right. Which I did for you and a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
And they were like, that's great. We're going to take them. Can we just buy them in bulk? And I was like, well, I guess there's no difference. Like I'm guaranteeing you 200 of them.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, the way that we do this is we just would rather, you know, do it this way. And I actually had a call with them the day before because I was like, I just don't want you buying something and not understanding what this is. It's like, it is a software key. There's really no benefit to having currently to having 200 in one wallet versus one. You get the same exact benefits. There's no like advantage to raffles, you know? And like I said, maybe when we add that, I might even turn that off for our collection. Be like, you still only are going to get a ticket. I have no idea. But I was just like, I just want to make sure, like, it's a software. You wouldn't pay for 40 Figma subscriptions, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I was, so all I can promise is like that one is enough to use the software and we'll see what we do with it. So, but I appreciate the support.
Well,
I'm glad that not a lot of people are doing that because I do like seeing that distribution.
Yeah, it's just awesome to see. And it's pretty rare to have it that high. For almost any project, I guess. Mostly we see like really successful projects in the 50 to 60% range, but yeah. I guess it was one per mint for the mint list. So I think just off the bat. Does that mean that at mint out, there was 10,000 unique holders and it just dropped down?
Almost. Mm. There's this course like, yeah, I guess people buy these things and then they're immediately selling them for like
0.01
ETH more.
There was
a couple transfers. About 1,000 of them went to bulk transfers. So I forget how many hundred went to me or pre-mint because we have this collector pass that we sell to people who want to use pre-mint as their solution. And so I allowed sort of anyone on that list who wanted to could exchange their pass for a collector pass for free. So they all got them. And so they were all sent to me and then I did a distribution, which is a huge pain in the ass, but it was the easiest thing to do. And then there were a couple big bulk buys by these DAOs that I mentioned. And so, but for the most, I guess there would have been 9,200 or however many.
Yeah.
And then that whittled down.
And then there was a lot of people.
Cause it wasn't, I think the first few days that wasn't that much higher than mint because we did have some technical problems and I felt horrible. And I spent the first like 72 hours literally like sending people. I also held back about 100 for future charity stuff or just to use however I wanted to. And I basically gave all of them out for people who were like, I was on mobile and the mobile didn't work. We had a couple ugly bugs or people were like, I had an emergency. And I just tried to be considerate to people who had genuinely tried. But I just remember telling a lot of people, like, I'm really sorry I can't get this to you, but you can't do it. But, like, the floor is really, it's about the same price. Just go grab something.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of people took advantage of that.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. All right. So this is a question that I ask everyone, and it's difficult to answer. And I imagine it's going to be even harder for you. But, like, where do you see pre-mint in 5 to 10 years?
I think that the trends that have been happening over the last few months have been, pre-mint has been very lucky to sort of be able to be right in the middle of them, right? When it comes to minting. So, you know, people were moving to allow lists. Obviously, that's what we were enabling. Suddenly, building an allow list with a million, you know, whatever, with just whoever wants to join it wasn't really that useful. So we were able to adapt to that. Then what we started seeing are these like collabs between communities, and all of them were using Prement to do the collabs. So we built a feature to make that a little bit easier. I think that like when I look at the future of what of this world, like I don't really ever want to build a minting platform. It's just personally, like I'm someone who loves to focus on a single problem. I think there are a lot of people building really great minting platforms.
Yeah.
They all have unique needs. Like it's not what I want to do, but I can see very clearly how Prement is built into every piece of the blockchain sort of ecosystem, where when you're doing a primary mint on OpenSea, you can connect your Prement account or your Prement list, and it's sort of an access layer on top of a lot of these other minting platforms and a lot of the stuff that's coming next, right? And I don't know what 5 to 10 years looks like when it comes to the whole community, but I know I can see very clearly that this has nothing to do with Collector Pass, just the technology is like, I mean, I've talked to the majority of the large minting platforms out there, and all of them deal with the same issue when it comes to the people who are putting this up on the platform, is people want some sort of a list to be able to like give access to certain groups.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's take a snapshot. Sometimes it's give it to a predestined, you know, green list or whatever. And most people export from Prement and then import into some weird way into that. So I think that right now the space between Prement and the mint is requires exporting information and then doing something with it. For the Prement Collector Pass, it was the same thing. I exported it. I put it into CSVs. I sent it to the people who wrote the contract for us.
Yeah.
That gap will not exist. I'm confident. I mean, every platform I've talked to has been like, yes, how do we do this? And there's some very basic solutions for I have an API they can just plug into. There's so many. So I think that's, we'll see that on both sides. Like when you go to, I won't mention any specific ones because people think that there's something in the works. But if you go to like minting platform A, before the mint happens, you'll see a button that says get on the access list, and that'll be powered by Prement. And then then I'll build all the tools to make that a great experience. And then when you actually go to mint, you'll go in and it'll be like, cool, you're on the light list, or maybe you're on the list for the second tranche or the third tranche, however they want to do it. I think there's so much room to improve that part of the experience that that's like clear as day to me that we will.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, I think that connecting all these communities together is going to be super easy, right? Like you should be able to go to Prement and just look at a catalog of all of the people who want to give you all access to stuff. And you should be able to just go, I released a video today of something we built to do this for us, where you can go and be like, cool. Yeah. I'd like that collab. You know, you shouldn't require like me to figure out how to DM you and then you introduce me to your collab person. Like it should all just sort of be run a little bit smoother. So that's out of it. The ultimate goal though, is I believe that as a creator, you should be able to know if you're going to sell out. You should have insights on what your mint's going to look like. You should be able to I had 36,000 people sign up for the Collector Pass, and having dinner with my wife the night before, I was like, I don't even know if I'll half sell out.
Yeah.
You just don't know. Are these people going to show up? I think that shouldn't be a question, right? Like I should be able to know. I mean, you can look at the blockchain and you can see who mints and who doesn't mint. You can look, and there's a whole suite of analytical tools that you could build to be like, cool. Like, cause I want to be able to say to creators, like if you use Prement, you will know how successful your mint's going to be. You should not walk into mint day blind. You should know pretty much exactly what's going to happen with some level of certainty.
I mean, there's infinite data out there. Like it's,
So, I mean,
I was
advising a team this morning that wants to build an NFT. I was like, really all that matters. And this might sound, this isn't meant to be money grabby, but all that matters is that you sell out. It benefits everyone to sell out. So, and the only thing that matters, you have to have enough humans who want to buy the thing. But if you have enough humans, you just have to price it correctly, and you have to run the mint correctly and notify people correctly and build. But like, if you don't sell out, if you still have your stuff on the primary market, the secondary tends to crash so much that then no one's going to buy primary because they can get it cheaper on secondary. Secondary people are pissed. But if you can, so what I see a lot of projects do is they don't sell out and then they just say like, okay, we're going to cut supply.
Yeah.
And there's only going to be 6,020 of these things.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the equilibrium sort of comes back. But like, you know, you're better off selling out at like 0.05 ETH than selling, you know, 75% of them at point one ETH, even though you're technically going to make more money. Like, it's, you just want, you want the constraint, that supply that's on the, so
yeah.
Cause to be honest, for me, there's a lot of things I'll say, I know I'm kind of rambling. Like, I don't really pay attention to secondary because I'm just focusing on building the value. Like, I can't control the secondary. That's other people's opinions. People were giving me shit today about like premium too expensive. And I was like, I don't have any of them. I mean, I've got one, but I don't, I'm not selling them. I'm not setting, I mean, I'm just trying to work on it.
Yeah.
As the creator, I just feel like you really should just ignore the secondary market. And, but you want to set it up so it isn't a disaster. And I feel like when you don't sell up, it's kind of, I feel like that's my biggest thing is like, just do that for your collectors and everything else will take care of it. Do that for your collectors and then keep adding value and that should all take care of itself.
Yeah. If it sells out, and that means the market was willing to pay that price on mint day. And then if you add value later on, theoretically it should go up. But so much of this space is just hype, speculation, randomness driven that it's all, like you said, you can never rely on anything for secondary. Like, who knows what's going to happen. All right. I think that was all my questions. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on that we didn't talk about?
It's an interesting new part of the journey right now because I said to my wife the night before, keep referencing this, but we obviously had long conversations the night before. and I was like, you know, this is crazy because we're about to bring on 10,000 people with a new set of expectations and a new set of demands and a new set of, I'm making a deal with them. I'm saying this thing is worth this. And if you buy it, I'll make sure you're happy with your purchase. That's how I treat any software transaction. Right. And, but in a normal software transaction, you know, I can't control FUD and like the market tanking. Right. And so I was just, you know, I was like, this adds so much weight to like what we're doing and so much fun opportunity. And so, you know, like that's sort of the deal that I'm going to, the seesaw that I'm going to be doing for the next year is add value to collectors, make sure to add value to creators, then go back and add value to collectors and kind of go back and forth. It's going to be really, really fun. But it's a new part of the journey. So people have been awesome and supportive and patient with, you know, as we figured out, because this is like new territory.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I actually have one more question that just came to mind. You don't have a Discord, and for an NFT project, that is kind of crazy because most of them have a Discord. Why? I mean, I'm sure it's very intentional. And B, do you plan to ever for collectors?
You know, I keep saying it, like this whole thing is an experiment. I try to, you know, try to do things maybe a little differently. Like when I started, it's like, everyone's like, well, of course you have to have a Discord. That's just, you have to have a Discord. And I started thinking like, well, what value would a Discord add? Well, you could claim that like people could be sharing alpha with each other. Right. Like, you know, I'm in a couple Discords that there's like 50 channels for all these other things that aren't the purpose of the Discord, but like you kind of have to have them. And I was like, I personally think that most people have enough Discords. If anyone out there in the NFT world is like, I'm not in enough Discords, then that's a solvable problem. Right.
Yeah.
So many. And so I don't know. I think that it's a little, I was going to say it's a little web two-y of me, but Discord is web two. So it's not, it's not like they've, I just don't think it's necessary. Like, I'm pretty active on Twitter. I try to share stuff. I try to get back to people on Twitter. I think the biggest complaint about not having a Discord, or if you were to like look at this in a strategic way, you could be like, well, if you have a Discord, your community can talk to each other, form more of a bond, and then they can help drive people's understanding and adoption of the project, right? Mm-hmm. Potentially, like, you know, the community coming together makes a project bigger and more important because there's sort of a unified voice. And that, I might miss out on that, but I don't really think that's why I built the Collector Pass. The Collector Pass isn't really about community. Like, sure, they can talk to each other, but like, it's a software, upgrade. And so that's, I just thought that the Discord would bring so much weight. I'd rather be focusing on like building better stuff than like all the stuff that goes into running a Discord well, right? Anyone can launch a Discord. I think launching a Discord well is really hard.
It's
tough. You know, there's plenty of people that are out there that are doing that. So whether we have one or not, if I were to have launched and the whole community was furious and they're like, we need one, totally, right? Like, it's whatever the community wants, but, and they can create one if they want. I guess technically I don't even need to create it, but So far, people seem okay with it because I'm pretty active on Twitter. Like, people can follow me, and I reply to most people, and I'm sharing everything I'm doing, and I'm doing it in a way where, like, doing it in a very public way. That even in the product, when you click the feedback button, it just generates a tweet to me, so everyone can see the feedback other people are giving.
That's right? Great.
It's all there. I think Twitter's a great tool for this. So far, that's been good.
Yeah. No, I love it. Honestly, I think we are all in way too many Discords. I was talking to someone the other day, I think I was in a team meeting or a group chat or something, and one of the people said, I'm in like 25, 30 Discords. And we're all like, what? How are you only in 25? We're all in 100 or 200. Yeah. And that's crazy because 25 is so many. Like, at most, I think people can keep up with 3 to 5. And that's like, for me, I'm in... Again, close to 200, but there's maybe 5 I check on a daily basis. And the rest are just noise.
Well, the hard part is probably when you go into the ones that, or a lot of them, like when I get a chance, I get tagged in like the Proof Collective one, which is a great Discord. I love that community. And they're super intelligent and very thoughtful. And I get tagged in there and I go in and I'll look and I'll be like, this is a great discussion. I just don't have time to actually be a part of it. But like, it's hard to like not, I mean, I want to be in that stuff. It's just really, really hard to keep up with it. And I was today felt for the first time since the Collector Pass launch, a little bit of like, I need to figure out a new communication method because my DMs on Twitter are so, there's just so many I haven't gotten back to. And so many of them are just like great questions, but not really an efficient use of my time because it's really more of like, I want to do a collab and I send them a blog post that I wrote yesterday with all the information on it. And like, but I need to find a new way of like triaging my, cause I want to be accessible. And I want to be able to hear. Cause if you try to build software without listening to your users, you build crap. So I don't want to ever not have a, but I also, it's gotten so overwhelming. And I'm finding out about the floor price going up because I'm waking up to tweets with people bitching at me that things are too expensive. And then the community wanting like all the stuff. And I'm just like, I've got to find that balance because it was what I was worried about with the Discord sort of happening on Twitter. But at the end of the day, like, I think people are understanding.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. All right. Any final words before we wrap up?
No, I appreciate what you do for the space. I feel like I hear nothing but good things about Zen Academy and, appreciated you all, you know, being interested in sharing the Collector Pass with your community. So,
We've been using Premint for months. We love it. Thank you for coming on. This has been fantastic. And I look forward to, honestly seeing what you continue to build over the next few months. Cause it sounds really, really, really exciting, honestly.
Yeah. It's very fun.
Thanks for listening to Zen Chats with Zenica. Please consider subscribing to the podcast so that you are notified of future episodes. Also, make sure to check out our YouTube channel for the video version of this episode. For even more podcasting fun, check out the other podcast I co-host, Two Bored Apes. If you enjoy my content, please consider joining us at Zen Academy, a place where anyone, anywhere, at any level can learn about NFTs and Web3. All of the links are in the description below. I'll catch you next time.